Powerful song. And by the way, our only hope is Jesus. If you try it any other way, you come up empty. But I'm going to tell you, in Jesus, you'll find everything that you need. Everything you've been looking for. Because your life has a void in it that only can be filled with Jesus. We come today to partake of the Lord's Supper. And we invite anyone who has met the Lord. Doesn't matter whether you go to a different denomination. If you've met the Lord and you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to partake of this Lord's Supper with us today. We have what we call an open communion. But you have to identify with this. If you haven't ever met the Lord, we just ask that you observe and see what this table means, because it speaks volumes today. This is the Lord's table, not ours. He invites us. On the front of the table, it says, "This do in remembrance of me." The focus is Jesus, and that's what the focus should be in our lives today. If you have a copy of the scripture, I want you to go to the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews. I'm going to read some verses throughout Hebrews because Hebrews is helping us understand that Jesus is better than any Old Testament prophet. He's better than any high priest. He's better than anyone else. He is sufficient, by the way. Because, see, the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies every year. Year after year, to make atonement for the sins of the people. And his work was never done. But he went in there and he had sprinkled into the Holy of Holies. He had sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. And then he'd go out and put blood on the scapegoat and send it out into the wilderness, signifying the sending away of their sin. But he kept doing it year after year. The people, whenever they committed sin, they had to bring a sin offering. They had to bring a lamb that was without spot or blemish. They had to bring the sacrifice to cover their sins. The priest's work was never done, but I've got good news this morning. Jesus went once into the holy place, and he made the atonement for our sins once for all. He doesn't keep going in year after year. He doesn't keep going in day after day. All you've got to do is come to him. And in him, you'll find everything that you need. Chapter 7. Let's go there. Chapter 7. It says in the word of God, verse 25, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to maketh intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for our own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmities, but the word of the oath, which we was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." Praise God. In other words, the priests kept doing their work. Thank God for their work, but I want you to know, we're no longer under the law, we're under grace. And aren't you glad we're under grace? Because if we were under the law, we'd be in trouble. They said in that day, many a priest would stand, and they would be standing in blood, sometimes up above their ankles, because people kept bringing another lamb, another lamb, another lamb. But we have Jesus, who is the perfect lamb. He died once for all for us. Thank God for that. Look at chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ, 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come as a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us, church. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the justifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. By the way, let me tell you what. When you came to Christ and he forgave you and he covered you in his blood, let me tell you what. He did that you might serve the living God. That's what we're to be about. Amen. We're to serve the living God. And that's what we're to be about. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That precious blood of Christ. See, without the blood, there cannot be life in the physical body. You and I know that. That is true in the Bible. Blood flows through the Bible just like it does through our own veins. The blood of Christ keeps Christianity alive, folks. We must understand that. You can cut the Bible anywhere and it will bleed. The blood was spoken of 427 times in the Bible. And we find that Jesus himself said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the many for the remission of sins," Matthew 26:28. Paul added, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin." Colossians puts it this way. Paul, the church of Colossae, says, "We have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Peter put it this way. "We are not redeemed with silver and gold and precious stones, but with the precious blood of Jesus." And John agreed with them and said, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all, A-double-L, all our sins," 1 John 1:7. Aren't you glad? I don't know about you, I'm glad he cleanses us from all our sins. There are some people say, "Well, I haven't come to Christ, I'm not worthy to come to Christ." None of us are worthy to come to Christ. None of us are worthy to come to this table. But see, we don't come to this table because of our worthiness. We come to this table because of his worthiness. We come to him. We're going to heaven one day, not in our righteousness, but in his righteousness. Because what he did at Calvary was the perfect sacrifice for us. I love that song we used to sing years ago. "The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives us strength, me strength from day to day, it shall never, ever lose its power. It soothes my doubt and it calms my fears. It dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power." And catch this part. "It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power." May I tell you this morning, the blood that Jesus shed over 2,000 years ago at Calvary covers our sin today in 2018. And I don't know about you, I'm thankful for the blood that covers our sins. By the way, that's the way you're going to go to heaven, because of Jesus, because of his righteousness. The blood. May I tell you this morning, the blood was perfect blood. The blood of Jesus was perfect. You say, "Well, how do you know that, Brother Jerry?" Well, we know that the virgin birth of Christ established his righteousness. Judas cried out. Remember what Judas cried out, the one who betrayed him? "I have betrayed innocent blood." Paul explained, "For he," God, "made him," Jesus, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." 2 Corinthians 5:21. We find that blood, it is spoken of as holy, harmless, it's undefiled, it is made high for us that we could know life eternal, folks. See, the natural father would have presented a problem with the virgin birth of Christ, but let me tell you what, he was born, he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason his blood was perfect in every way. We must understand that. It was a perfect blood that you and I, it was shed for us, folks. And that's the reason we can rejoice. That's the reason we find that Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted God with us. May I tell you this morning, that was no ordinary baby in a manger. That was God in the manger. He was the God-man. That's the reason the Apostle John in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as the only begotten Son of God, who was truth to us." Let me tell you what, that was the God-man. And his blood was perfect. And by the way, that's what God demanded. Amen? It had to be perfect. Not only is his blood perfect, it is pure. See, we need to understand that the blood of Jesus is pure in every way. Listen to what the scripture says again. Go back there to chapter 9. Look at what it says here. Verse 13. "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkling the unclean sanctifies or sets apart," we're sanctified, we're set apart "to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience to serve the living God." Listen to me. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Let me tell you what, it was the blood of Jesus. Peter put it I shared earlier, he put it this way. "For as much as you know, you have not been redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold." By the way, you could not buy your salvation. Aren't you glad? Because only the rich people could afford it. Many of us couldn't afford it. But thank God it isn't that we bought salvation. He gave it to us once for all. He says, "For as though you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and spot." It is pure, and it is purifying us. By the way, that's what declares us righteous, the pure blood of Jesus, the powerful blood of Jesus. But may I tell you also this morning that the blood of Jesus is perpetual. What does that mean? It never ends. Aren't you glad? I've heard of things, you know, you've heard of people say, "Well, you can go to this cemetery and it has perpetual care." But you know what? I've been to some cemeteries, they say they have perpetual care. They don't have perpetual care. They don't keep up like they say they're going to. But thank God we have perpetual care through the blood of Jesus. He paid the price for us. See, the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament were continuous year after year. But the blood of bulls and goats provided only forgiveness for a season, for a day. But the blood of Jesus is perpetual. It is forever and evermore. Hebrews 7:27 says it this way, "Who needeth not daily as those high priests offer up sacrifices, first for his own sin and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself." By the way, Jesus didn't have to come running in there and say, "Hey, I got a little bit more blood. Hey, I'm going to give you a little bit more blood." I need to cover 2018. Let me give you a little bit more blood. Let me tell you what. The blood that he shed at Calvary is a blood that, yes, it's pure, it's perfect, but I want to tell you, it is perpetual, because the blood that's shed at Calvary, listen to me, it covers our sin today. All of our sin. Every sin that you and I had ever committed, every sin that was going to be committed, every sin that had in the past, in the present, in the future was going to be committed, that blood, that sin was placed on Jesus at the cross. Your sin and my sin. By the way, we shouldn't take sin lightly. Hello? We take it lightly today. People make fun of God. They call him the man upstairs. Let me tell you what, that's a flip. That you shouldn't ever say that. He's not the man upstairs. He's God. He's holy. He's righteous. We must understand that. He reminds us in chapter 9. Go back to chapter 9 of Hebrews there with me. For Christ... Verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment, so Christ once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation. You see what it's saying there? It's saying, listen, Christ entered into that holy place once. His sin was sufficient. His blood was sufficient. His power is sufficient. It was a perpetual blood. But may I tell you, not only is that blood perfect and pure and perpetual, may I tell you this morning, it's powerful. Powerful. You say, how do you know it's powerful? Well, you remember the song, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonderful working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonderful working power in the blood of the Lamb. Remember what John the Revelator wrote in Revelation 5:9, thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. And by the way, it's powerful, because you remember what it said in Revelation 5:11? It says they overcame. How did they overcame? They overcame by the word of their testimony. And how? By the blood of the Lamb. Can you imagine? The blood covered them at the Passover. They were put the blood over the lintels over the door and over the doorpost, and the death angel would pass over. I've got good news. You don't have to put the blood over the lintels of your door anymore. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Thank God for that. It's powerful. By the way, you know how powerful it is? It can save someone this morning. The blood has the power to be applied to anyone here without Christ. You can be saved today. And catch this. Every sin that you committed up to today will be forgiven. Because of the blood that was shed over 2,000 years ago. Think about that. Just wrap your mind around that a minute. Thank God for that. And yes, he says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sin without that shedding of blood. The the perfect, the pure, the perpetual, the powerful. And may I tell you, it is, the blood is permanent. I don't know about you, I'm glad for that. God doesn't say, let me tell you what, I'm going to give my blood and it's going to cover you for 30 days. You got 30 days. Oh, you got a 9-month period of time. Kind of like life insurance. You know, you can buy life insurance. I'll take 10 years or I'll take 20 years. Let me tell you what, I've got good news this morning. Because the blood is permanent, you have a life insurance policy forever. Now, that'll excite somebody here today. If that doesn't excite you, you better get saved today. Maybe it will excite you. Because I'm going to tell you what, I preached last Thursday night in the prison. Those guys almost preached the hound out of me. They get the yelling, they get the talking back to the pastor. One guy kept his right on the front row. He said, keep preaching it, keep preaching it, keep preaching it. And I kept preaching it, I kept preaching it. And Thursday night, we had over 40 men pray to receive Christ. 40. How did that happen? Not because of this pastor. It was because of the power of the blood of Jesus. It's because of the blood is permanent. It not only covers our present and future sins, it covered our past sins. And Jesus said, "As I'm going to take your sin and I'm going to remove it as far as the east is from the west, and I'll remember it no more." He forgives and he forgets. Boy, so should we, amen. Oh, it's precious today. Let me tell you something. There's some here that you need the blood. You need the blood of Jesus. And oh, when you come to know him, whom to know life everlasting, you'll be forever changed. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. If our deacons will come forward at this time, staff. Just before Jen plays, if y'all go ahead and pass it out. Before Jen plays, you're going to receive a piece of bread. And I want to make sure every child in this church understands what this represents. There's no saving power in this bread. Just like there was no saving power in being dunked underneath some water. Thank God that we do it in obedience. And you partake of the bread in obedience today. But this bread represents his body, the body of Jesus that was broken for us. May we never forget what he went through. He was spat upon. They took rods and they blindfolded him and they hit him and said, prophesy, who's hitting you? They plucked out his beard. They put a crown of thorns. These thorns weren't little bitty, they were about 3 to 4 inches long and crushed it down on his head. They put him on the scourging post. You'd see that it says, and when he came before Pilate and they scourged him. So people say, well, what does that mean? Well, what it means is a scourging post was designed to bring about the most powerful punishment ever. They would put their hands over their head. And one Roman soldier would be on this side, and one Roman soldier on this side. They had a whip. It's made of sharpened pieces of bone and sharpened pieces of lead. It's like razor sharp. And what they would do is one would stand on one side and one would stand on the other side, and they would hit him. They would beat him, hitting until literally the flesh was torn open. Then they took a crown. Then they took a cross. He carried it as far as he could. And then he laid down his life. No one took his life. He laid it down, church. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died there alone for you and me. And yes, they put nails in his hands and his feet to gain a breath. He'd have to pull himself up by the nails, take a breath, and then come back down again. Pull himself up by the nails, take a breath, and come down again. So when you take this piece of bread, I want every one of us to never, ever forget what he went through for us. On that night, he took the bread. He passed it around to his disciples. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat, for this you do in remembrance of me." We're going to bless the bread. Brother Guy, would you bless the bread today?
Father God, we thank you so much for the chance to be here today. Thank you for the chance to observe the Lord's Supper. Thank you most of all for Christ, for this bread we're about to partake of, for his body that it represents that was broken and bruised for us. Father, we could never thank you enough, but Father, we just thank you as much as we can right now. Father, we just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
He took that bread and he blessed it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." the cup you hold in your hand, this juice represents the blood that was shed for us. Remember, we talked about how it was perfect, it was pure, it was perpetual, it was perfect, and it was continuing, and thank God it's powerful and it's permanent forevermore. Thank God for the blood. But this cup represents the blood. Jesus went to that upper room with his disciples. They thought they were going to take of the Passover. But he inaugurated a new covenant, a new way, and that was the Lord's Supper. He's the one that started it. And he took that cup. Remember, this was the blood that was shed for us. Doesn't have any saving power drinking this, but it ought to remind us of the price that was paid for us at Calvary. Your salvation costs Jesus his very life's blood. May we never forget that. We think about sinning. We think about going astray. We think about getting away from God. May we never forget the price he paid that we could have life eternal. They bless that. Brother Ralph, would you bless the what today?
Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful that we come before your table this morning, Lord, to celebrate your death, Lord. The blood that was spilled at Calvary's cross, Lord, that covered our sins, dear Heavenly Father. May we never forget the price that was paid, Lord. Lord, it was not his sin. It was our sin that was placed on him, Lord. So, Father, we are so grateful for the blood of Jesus Christ. We just pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. He took the cup, gave it to him, and he said, this is the blood of the New Testament. Take, drink, this do in remembrance of me. The Bible, they said it, they sang out a hymn and went from that place. Would you join Brother Jake as he leads us once again into the presence of God with song? To him. See, now does this table speak to us today, and the Lord says, I love you, and I want to forgive you of your sin and give you everlasting life. We must respond to this table. For the one that's here today that you've never invited Jesus in your life, I want to invite you to come and take a pastor by the hand today and say, Pastor, I need Jesus. That's all you need to say.